They call Charleston the Holy City because of the number of churches. And where there are churches, there are graveyards. And where there are graveyards, there are ghosts. Founded in 1670, there have been nearly 3 centuries worth of death, murder, and tragedy. This audio tour of Charleston's darker side will take you about 1.5 hours. More if you linger, less if you have to run away from something. This tour can be taken during the day or night, depending on how brave you are. But keep in mind, some cemeteries might not be accessible at certain times. Please respect the closing times, and if you're taking this tour late at night, only view the cemeteries from the street. Stick your hands through the bars to take a photo, if you're willing. We start outside the Charleston Old City Jail. Now, we can't go inside, but if you're listening to this in the evening, trust me, you don't want to. From 1802 to 1939, this building housed pirates, murderers, and Civil War prisoners. Much of the building remains intact and original, including the cells and the warden's office. The land has been set aside since the founding of Charleston for public use. This has been a hospital, a poorhouse, and a workhouse for enslaved persons. It was built in 1802 as a 4-story building with an octagonal tower. And while it was expanded and the architecture improved upon, an earthquake in the 1880s destroyed many of the additions. It was meant to hold no more than 130 prisoners, but at times it held over 300, locked in cages no larger than a person's body. Over 10,000 people died within the walls from disease, torture, and violence. The jail closed in 1939 and remained empty for 61 years. What is left is an eerie, gothic, and somewhat abandoned building. I say somewhat. Even where you're standing, assuming you were brave enough to stand near the jail, people have reported being shoved, hair tugged, and scratched. The lost souls lingering on the grounds where they were chained, imprisoned, and died. While the jail housed some of Charleston's most notorious criminals, there were also those who were wrongly convicted, enslaved persons, and prisoners of war. Tragic were the stories of anyone held in the Old City Jail, and as you know, tragedy leads to hauntings. I'd like to tell you the story of probably the most infamous criminal held here, who can still sometimes be seen today if you're lucky, or unlucky, as it were. Lavinia Fisher is considered America's first female serial killer, though this distinction may be just her legacy and not her actual life. She is charged with the murders, but may have only been an accessory. But she would be hanged regardless. Lavinia and her husband, John Fisher, owned the 6 Mile Wayfarer House, an inn north of Charleston, on the site where the old Navy Hospital is today. The inn was frequented by traders, coming into the port city with goods and leaving with pockets full of money. The couple were respected and highly regarded in the community, despite persistent reports of guests disappearing from their establishment. In the early 1800s, people would check in, but they would never leave. Rumors abound of Lavinia, who was beautiful and flirtatious, inviting business travelers in for dinner, and upon ascertaining how much money they may have had, she would offer them a cup of tea, poisoned, to induce a deep slumber. Her husband John would then complete the murder by stabbing them in their sleep, robbing them of their wealth, and disposing of the body. Some tales even say that the Fishers had installed a trap door under the bed that would open up and drop the weakened by poison guest onto a bed of spikes. Whether this is true or a tall tale is hard to tell, as the centuries have gone by, allowing the stories to get more elaborate. But what we do know comes from the stories of 2 would-be victims, David Ross and John Peoples, who both escaped death at the hands of the Fishers. Peoples was lucky that he didn't like tea, so he never drank the poison. And while he did accept the offer of a room, he was not lying in the bed when the Fishers came in, but was rather in a chair by the window. When he awoke to the bed collapsing, he jumped out of the window and immediately told the authorities. They had already heard the stories of disappearing guests and the accusation of David Ross that they had tried to kill him. And the Fishers would be arrested in 1819. found in the cellar of the inn were either the dismembered remains of hundreds of travelers, or just their possessions. The accounts differ. Imprisoned in the jail, the callous Lavinia Fisher had no interest in atoning for her sins. Her and her husband were both tried for murder, but were only charged with highway robbery, which makes it likely that no bodies were actually found. Lavinia did not go quietly to the gallows. She shouted, pleaded, and struggled while wearing her wedding dress, which she insisted on being buried in. She blamed socialites. She cursed. She fought, making it hard for the executioner to tighten the noose around her neck. And as she leapt from the executioner's grasp, she yelled,
"If you have a message you want me to send to hell, give it to me and I'll carry it."
And then she jumped from the platform, where the noose tightened and she fell limp. She went to the grave claiming her innocence and that she and her husband were victims of the criminal justice system, and high society did not like her inn and her associates. She is buried not far from where you're standing, but she is still said to roam the halls of the old city jail, restless by the injustice of her verdict and the wrong done to her upon the people of Charleston. Head east down Magazine Street. Watch your back as you go, keeping the eye on the old city jail behind you. When the road dead ends at Archdale Street, turn right. The Unitarian Graveyard is just across the street.